This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics.
Consistency in what we're doing.
Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Jameis, why? Jameis, no. No. No.
Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about the Florida State-Boston College game and exactly what happened in Florida State's narrow win over Boston College, 20-17. First thing we're going to talk about is the Jameis Winston so-called shove of the official on a play where Winston was trying to get to the line of scrimmage, and the extra official who's responsible to stand over the football and make sure that that the defense gets adequate attention, adequate ability to make substitutions to match any substitutions that the offense makes. Winston tried, as everybody saw, tried to move past the official, and there was some physical contact as Winston bumped him out of the way. I don't think it was much of a shove. I think, you know, Winston moved him out of the way and tried to get to where you know he could get the snap off while the official was yelling at him that I've got to let him substitute. The official, obviously, you know, he got off balance and got thrown to the side a little bit. And then let the play go, let Winston have a space. Once he'd given him the adequate time, stepped out of the way, and, you know, no harm, no foul. Some have suggested that Winston should have been flagged and ejected for contact with an official there. But, from what I saw, that was no different than the kind of contact that happens in every other touchdown celebration, where the back judge is stepping forward and yelling at guys, stop celebrating, you know, get to the sideline, and guys just kind of brush by and bump into him, and, you know, all of that. And there's never any flag for that. You know, the guy is sticking his nose in there and trying to, and oftentimes initiating contact and pushing players away, and the players bumping back. And, you know, that's pretty standard. It's even more similar to players standing around the pile or jumping toward the pile after a fumble. You know, some sort of fumble happens, and then, you know, you got all these players jumping around, and officials are generally getting in and trying to pull guys out and all this, and guys are, you know, edging past. I've seen officials fall down because guys are, you know, trying to get in there a little bit, but you never see really flags happen in those situations either, because, again, the officials are initiating the contact there. Just like in this case, this official who was out of position, he's supposed to be over the ball, but he got there late, was out of position. He's trying to hold Winston back and pulls on him a little bit, and Winston just sort of knocks him to the side a little bit. That's pretty standard. That's not all that uncommon. I don't see why that's been a big deal, other than the fact that it's Jameis Winston. But this is what we've come to expect. There's going to be a big deal over any little thing, but, you know, it's a non-issue as far as I'm concerned. And the ACC issued a statement to that effect just a little earlier today, saying that, you know, they'd looked into it and it was deemed to be incidental contact, not worthy of any sort of penalty. So, you know, that we can put behind us. The next thing I want to talk about is again, how difficult it is to go undefeated at any level. And, you know, you hear SEC people, you know, a lot of people across college football talking about, well, it's a lot easier in the ACC or whatever. Well, you know, maybe it's easier in the ACC, but the only evidence that they have for that being easier in the ACC is Florida State doing it. Nobody else has done it. Nobody else is running through the ACC undefeated. But just because Florida State does it doesn't mean that that it's an easy job. And honestly, all you have to do to – and especially it's not an easy job when you've got three Power 5 programs in addition to an eight-game ACC schedule, unlike a lot of these SEC schools, which, you know, Mississippi State didn't play a Power 5 program non-conference. You know, Bama plays one. They played the one at the beginning of the year, and the rest are non-Power 5 opponents. You know, the same thing with Oregon. They played one. You know, so this is very that makes the schedule that much tougher, because even a lower level Power 5 team, even a team that's struggling at this point in the year like Oklahoma State, you know, they came in, they're a young team, but they came in with a lot of talent and with some bodies that they can throw at you, and over the course of the year that adds up, and you can see how banged up and tired Florida State really is. And in this game, I think you could really see that in the second half, where you could see that this was a game where Boston College again came off a bye, and Steve Adazio had talked a little bit about during the week about how during his bye week he had given his guys 4 days off because they just needed the rest for their bodies, and they looked so much fresher in this game. And Florida State was beat up, and this was a game after a very, very physical and draining game on the road at night against Miami. And so they get a little bit less rest even off of that, coming back off the road and, you know, being a night game and all that. And then it's a rivalry game with all of the emotions and, you know, being a comeback and everything. They had a lot to deal with in this, and they came in, and you could see, especially in that second half, they looked like they were dragging a little bit in this game. They did not look like they were fresh at all. And Boston College looked like the fresher team, especially late. And Florida State still won the game. And all you have to do really is look at what's happened to Florida State's opponents after they've played Florida State to see exactly how draining these kinds of games are when teams absolutely load up and give Florida State their best shot, because this makes their season to beat the number one team in the country. Well, look at what's happened to some of these teams after they've given Florida State their best shot. Look what happened to Miami this week. After that heartbreaking loss to Florida State last week, Miami went on the road and got hammered by a fresher Virginia team off a bye. That same Virginia team that Florida State had an easier time with than Miami. But they're off a bye. They're not coming off of being banged up and all of the emotional stuff that happens in that kind of rivalry game. And Miami got hammered. Florida State, on the other hand, played the Boston College team that's probably better than that Virginia team and survived. That's really what it's about at this point. It's about surviving. You know, Notre Dame, look what happened to them after Florida State. They went on they managed to win the next game close against Navy, and they've been on a slide ever since. Three losses in a row right after that. Between Florida State and Navy, somewhere around that line, Notre Dame just suddenly they lost it. They lost what they had coming into that game, and I don't think that's coincidental. You know, NC State and Syracuse and Wake Forest all lost immediately after Florida State. Now, obviously, Syracuse and Wake Forest are terrible football teams, and NC State's not very good either. But NC State was riding high coming into that Florida State game, and they got up and they gave Florida State everything they had, and then they just had nothing left for games following. So, you know, Florida State is getting those shots, and they're coming back. And they still have something left, just enough left to finish the next team who's giving them everything they have. I mean, think about it like a boxer who has to fight multiple opponents every week. So you, not only are you getting fresh challengers, but you're taking these challengers' best shots, and you're not getting the multiple weeks off to recuperate from the prior fight. And this fighter keeps winning. That's what Florida State's been doing this year. It's really tough to win every week. And they've done it now every week for nearly 2 years. It's very, very difficult to do. Now, in terms of this game against Boston College, I know that there's a lot of angst among the Florida State faithful about how close this game was. You know, 20-17, winning it on a late field goal, all of the things that go along with that, and how close Florida State really was to losing this game at different points. But I'll put it this way. Florida State basically just beat Arkansas. Would this feel any different for Florida State fans out there if this had been Arkansas, an SEC West team that just destroyed a good Ole Miss team? And, you know, they've got the same record as Boston College. They're both 6-4. They both have a big win over. Boston College actually has played an extra game so far. You know, they came into this game 6-4. Arkansas is 6-5 now. They're both 6-5 now. They're both 6-5. They both have a marquee win over a ranked team. Boston College hammered Southern Cal. They outrushed Southern Cal. I'm going to remind you again: 452-20. They, Arkansas hammered a depleted Ole Miss team, You know, Ole Miss is sliding since Treadwell's injury and since the older Khemdiche, Denzel Khemdiche's injury, which really affected their defense. Florida State has had similar injuries, and they've kept marching. But, you know, that Arkansas team and this Boston College team are very similar. Line up, you know, go big, go jumbo, and just run the football. Run straight at you, and we're going to win with power. And they're the same team. They're the same basic team. And if you look at them in F-plus coming into the week, Arkansas was 30th in F-plus. Boston College was 34th. Very, very similar teams. Very close in the F-plus efficiency ratings. And so that's basically what Florida State did. They just basically beat a very physical Arkansas team. Just change the name on the jersey, and that's basically what you have. And actually, I think Boston College has got the better quarterback of the two teams. But they're basically even on offense, and, you know, their defenses are pretty comparable as well. And, you know, defensively, in terms of what Florida State, the performance that Florida State had, it's basically the defensive performance that we expected. I mean, I had this game as a 38-20 game. I thought Boston College would score about 20 points in this game. Thought they may score, you know, 7 or 10 in the first half, and then score, you know, 14 or so maybe in the second half, 10 points somewhere maybe in the second half. And, you know, Florida State would have some trouble stopping what they do with, you know, stopping their running game. But ultimately, FSU would have more offense and would be able to win this game. The real problem in this game was not so much defense, but the Florida State offense, which was unable to put Boston College away when they had the opportunities, turning a ball over off of a tipped ball, you know, not being able to finish drives because of four dropped passes and two penalties when you have a shorter game like what Boston College is going to give you. Those things matter more. And I think, you know, the drop passes do have something to do with the conditions. I mean, the monsoon-type conditions in that game. It makes it more difficult for receivers, and especially for inexperienced receivers. When you're catching a waterlogged ball, you know, the grip on your gloves is a little bit different. That's one thing. But the other thing that you have to get used to is that a waterlogged ball hits you heavier. It has more weight when it hits your hands, and so it's likely to go through. And that happened on four different occasions in this game. And, you know, Florida State probably scores two or three more touchdowns if those guys make those catches. And this game's out of reach because Boston College was not going to be moving the football enough to be able to make that up. So, you know, this was basically, like I said, defensively what we expected from Florida State. What we saw in this game was basically what Steve Addazio told me they were going to do in the offseason. When I got a chance to talk to Addazio this offseason, he said, listen, we know that we don't have playmakers on the outside that are going to beat these guys. But what we do have is we've got, you know, some big, tough guys who we can challenge, and we can try to get you into a phone booth and make it into a brawl and just see who comes outstanding. And that's what they want to do. And that's what they do very well. And again, they're Arkansas. That's what they do. They got five graduate students on their offensive line. Very good offensive line. One of the best in the country run blocking. A couple good tight ends, good fullback, good backs, and a quarterback who can run the football and makes good decisions, you know, is able to get the ball on the edge, able to get, you know, get them into the right run plays. So, you know, they were going to do that, and we knew that coming into this game. Everybody knew that, and everybody knew that Florida State would give up some yards, would give up some opportunities in the running game, but it's really about making sure that you can get that one loss. You try to get an early, you know, get them behind the sticks once, and then, you know, you got a chance, and that's what they basically did. Boston College was able to run with success right up until all of a sudden one guy would make a play, and then they're behind the sticks, and then they'd have to punt or some other thing, and they didn't end up finishing drives, and that's what this is about. And honestly, they scored 17 points, seven of which are directly attributable to field conditions because Ramsey fell. I mean, that's why those kinds of field conditions are advantageous actually to the offense. You know, this makes it even worse for the Florida State offense only scoring 20 points, but poor field conditions like that are advantageous. You hear people talk about how they benefit the defense. That's not true. You talk to any coach or any player who's really played in those kinds of environments, and it really benefits the offense more than it does the defense, because the offensive guys know where they're going. If I'm a wide receiver and I'm running a route, I know where I'm going, and I can make sure my footing's good. The defensive back has to adjust to me, has to react to me, and he's always going to be just a little bit late, and he's got to react with a little quicker twitch. And when that happens on that kind of field, he's going to be much more likely to slip and fall than I am as the offensive player. So, you know, offenses should be able to use that to their advantage, and they usually can. The conditions that are not conducive to offensive performance is, are things like wind. Wind really hurts offenses. You can't throw the football as well in the wind. High wind matters a lot more than sloppy field conditions. The other thing is that when it's rainy, when it's not just sloppy on the field but rainy, it's harder to catch the football because you're catching a little bit heavier ball. The ball tends to be slick. Your gloves get slick. You know, things are a little different there. But basically, Florida State needed to play better on offense in order to do well in this game. And you know that they didn't quite get their job done. But Adazio's strategy was a good one. And, you know, it's going to take advantage. They were able to take advantage of Florida State's lack of depth on the front seven. This would have been a great week to have Derek Nnadi healthy. Happens to be a week that he missed because of injury. He was out this week. He should be back for Florida, we expect. DeMarcus Christmas, this would have been a great game for him to be ready, but he's not ready after his ankle injury. Half the linebackers on the team are banged up. Even Terrence Smith, who's right now playing, is playing through injury. Reggie Northrup has been banged up, but he's about the healthiest guy out there. Everybody else is basically hurt. And then Matthew Thomas made it worse by being an idiot and launching himself at the quarterback and getting himself ejected from early in the second half and ejected from the first half of the Florida game. So now you've got to play against the Florida offense that's going to do exactly the same thing that Boston College does. I mean, they do exactly the same stuff. And now you're going to be lacking Matthew Thomas in that first half. But the linebackers are banged up. So, you know, all they really had available as far as healthy linebackers, and, you know, Terrence Smith is not healthy, Terrence Smith and Reggie Northrup. And then you have people complaining. Our fans, you know, the Florida State fans are complaining about Charles Kelly putting five defensive backs on the field. Well, why are they going to five defensive backs? It's because they put their best 11 on the field. Are you going to put Nate Andrews on the field, or are you going to put, you know, a banged up Hoskins on the field? Well, you know, I think generally speaking, with how Andrews plays in the box, I'm going to go with Andrews. He's smaller, but, you know, I'm going to take my chances with my best 11. And that's what they chose to do. Same thing with Ramsey on the edge at the star position. Do you really want to take Jalen Ramsey off the field at that star position so that you can put a young freshman banged up linebacker on the field? That's not my call. That's not what I would want to do. I'm going to leave Jalen Ramsey, who's maybe my best edge defender right now, on the field in that position. You know, because if you take, you know, you may not take Ramsey off the field completely, but then you're going to have to make a different substitution at safety, and you're getting worse at each position, basically. So, you know, I have no real problem with what they did. I actually thought they did a good thing. I like what they did in terms of going with a five defensive linemen set, going heavy, going jumbo defense with a jumbo defensive line, putting Mario Edwards, Eddie Goldman, Justin Shanks, Derek Mitchell, and then either Walker or Casher all on the defensive line. So you basically have three and a half, if you count Mario Edwards as that half, defensive tackles on the field to go against that offense. I mean, that's what they did. They tried to load up with the beef there, and then, you know, the other guys had to tackle at the second level. And you know, there were guys that missed some gaps, particularly DeMarcus Walker, who a few times just crashed down when he shouldn't have and you know, didn't always have assignment consciousness there. But you know, that adjustment was a good adjustment. I think we'll see it against Florida as well, to go with multiple defensive linemen like that, to go with an extra defensive lineman, an extra defensive tackle on the field, and to match jumbo personnel with that. And with Nnadi on the field, I think at that defensive at that nose tackle position, they're a little bit better there. And you know, with both Nnadi and Shanks available, you might be able to rotate those guys. Shanks didn't play terribly, but you know, he's not an elite kid by any stretch, and he's not, you know, not entirely reliable. You know, did get pushed around a little bit, but didn't play poorly. Actually, I thought the defensive line in general played pretty well, but they had some trouble in that second level making the tackles when they needed to. And you know, the Boston College backs were physical and were able to get yards after the carry. But you know, at the end of the day, this defensive performance was significantly better, and certainly the coaching performance was better than what we saw from, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's UGA team against Florida a few weeks ago. When Florida gashed Georgia for 6.97 yards per carry and 418 rushing yards, and the Pruitt defense basically stayed in the same kinds of sets that we saw from Florida State, but without the extra beef. So, you know, you want to talk about problems schematically, you circle that one. You know, I think Kelly did a good job in this game. I think the defensive coaches did a good job in this game. I do get frustrated sometimes by the lack of gap discipline in certain cases, but that lack of gap discipline is something that I know is getting covered in practice every day. These guys are getting yelled at for not doing their jobs, for not getting that done the right way in practice, and they just keep making the same mistakes. At that level, when it's, you know, the same guy who continues not to learn, and he's getting coached on this, at some point you have to question whether the player has it there. But they don't have other options at some of those positions. So, but, you know, Eddie Goldman had continued to play very well. Mario Edwards continued to play very well. This team still has playmakers up there, and those guys made plays to stop drives, and that's really what matters, and that's why this team wins. Because they stop drives, even though they may be out there a while, they stop the drive, they prevent the team from scoring, and then the offense ends up scoring more points than their offense can, and that's how you win football games. So, you know, that is, you know, those are your basics. I don't see how this was a defense that a defensive performance that's worthy of complaining a whole lot about. I mean, Florida State had a better defensive outing against Boston College in this one than Louisville did. When I went back and I looked through the game log, Louisville gave up 5.27 yards per play and scored 19 points against Boston College and gave up 19 points against Boston College. 5.27 yards per play. Florida State gave up 5.05. Out of Boston College's last nine games, here are their yards per play. Southern Cal, 7.44. That's 7.44 yards per play against Southern Cal. They rushed for 452 yards there. 6.46 yards per play against Maine. 6.09 against Colorado State. 5.41 against North Carolina State. Then against Clemson, who may have the best defense in the country, 4.7 yards per play. Wake Forest, 6.22 yards per play. Virginia Tech, another very good defense, 5.94 yards per play. Louisville, 5.27 yards per play. And then Florida State, 5.05 yards per play. That's second out of that to Clemson. Florida State played pretty well on defense here. They didn't get off the field like you'd like, but they didn't give up plays, and they made the plays when they needed to. They were able to stop drives. So, you know, that's not something really to complain about. And that's despite the conditions favoring the offense, especially an offense that's of the BC mold. Those conditions very much favor that kind of offense in that environment. So, you know, Florida State's defense actually played reasonably well despite being shorthanded and so banged up. And the good news for Florida State fans is that Florida is going to come in with exactly the same scheme, exactly the same system as what we just saw from Boston College. They're going to do exactly the same thing because they don't have any other options. They're lining up with the same stuff, trying to run the quarterback a little bit, trying to go big and jumbo with the offensive line and try to run it and shove it down your throat. That's what they're trying to do. But Florida doesn't have the ability to do it as well as as Boston College or Georgia Tech, actually. Georgia Tech is the more concerning game that's coming up. Florida, when you look at their yards per carry, they're averaging 4.47 yards per carry on the season. Boston College coming into this game was averaging almost a yard more than that per rush on the year. So, you know, Boston College, you know, Florida averaged 4.45 yards per carry against South Carolina, 4.28 against Vanderbilt. They had that explosion against Georgia, 6.97, but 2.81 yards per carry against Missouri. This is not a team that can run it down your throat as well as Boston College, who has a better offensive line, a better quarterback, ironically, because he's a Florida transfer, and a better overall running game and the ability to play physically like this in the running game than Florida does. Now, obviously, it's a rivalry game. Florida's going to be amped up for, you know, for an extra, you know, it's Must Champ's last game, all this stuff. But if Florida State only gave up 17 to Boston College, you have to like their chances to hold Florida under, say, 21, 24 points. And probably to what around what they did Boston College. If you look at the Football Outsiders rankings, Florida is actually not as good on the year as Boston College. Boston College came into this week, as I said, 34th in the country. Their offense at 25th in the country. Florida, on the other hand, in the F plus ratings, is 42nd in the country with the offense with an offense at 81st. Again, Boston College's offense is ranked 25th in F plus. Florida's offense is ranked 81st. Now, the concerning game is a little bit further up than that. That's Georgia Tech, whose offense is ranked 2nd, and they can run the football on anybody. We'll talk about that in a week. But defensively, I think Florida State, you know, they're going to basically have a similar kind of situation against Florida. You expect them to have Nnadi back for that game. And, you know, at that point, you're playing a team that's not quite as good doing the very same things. And on a day with a little bit better weather, the Florida State offense should be a little bit more better equipped to be able to throw the football and, you know, pitch and catch a little bit. And you know, you get another week with this offensive line gelling, and you know, if you're a Florida State fan, you hope that Florida State plays a little better on offense, which you would expect. Now, Florida's better on defense than Boston College, not by as much as you would think. They've got elite players at different spots, but they're only 20th in the country on defense, whereas Boston College is 46th in the F-plus ratings. So, I mean, it's basically they're a better defense, but they're a defense that Florida State has played better than. So that's basically where I'm at the end of all this. The offense needs to play better. You can't have those four key drops. You can't have the two key penalties, especially in a shortened game. But, you know, by and large, I think This is more or less what we expected on the defensive side from Florida State, and more or less continued progress, continued to survive these wars, these boxing matches where you're trading body blows. And for a team to continue to come out and win week after week in these is really amazing to me. And that's 27 in a row for Florida State, and it doesn't look like it's going to be I'm not going to bet against them against Florida. Even though, you know, it's a rivalry game, and, you know, there's at some point you keep playing with these margins, you're bound to get beat. But Florida State really does match up in this game quite well with Florida to be able to do at least what they did against Boston College, which is survive. Well, that'll do it for us today. That's going to be it. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. On behalf of the whole Knoll Digest crew, thanks for listening.
I made this.